We're opening our Bibles in the book of Haggai this morning, Haggai chapter 1, and commencing to read at the first verse, and just follow the reading of God's precious word. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye have not be filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to handle thy word, and I pray that thou wilt by thy spirit speak to my heart, speak to the hearts of everyone that's gathered in this place, saint and sinner alike. And we pray that thou wilt this day do a mighty work that will glorify the Master. And even as the work of God commenced afresh in the days of Haggai the prophet, we pray that we might see the recommencement of the work with vision and with zeal and with fervor, even upon this hill, to the glory and the honor of thy precious and thy mighty name. We thank thee that thou art a mighty God. We thank thee that thou art almighty. We bless thee at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall truly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray that thou wilt challenge our hearts, that ere we leave the house of God today, that we might be different men and women, that our God, we might, Lord, go out to serve thee, and go out to worship thee, and, O God, to reach the lost for Jesus, afresh with the fire of God within our soul. Answer prayer today. Glorify Jesus in this house this morning, for we ask these things for his glory and sake alone. Amen. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we were looking in the book of Haggai the prophet, and we were studying here the opening words of this passage of God's word. It tells us in verse 13 that Haggai spake the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And truly there is a word from God for us for this day and generation in which we live through the prophet Haggai. It was a day when the children of Israel, some of them, had returned to Jerusalem, and they were given the opportunity to build again the house of the Lord that had been torn down, and to build again a house to worship in Jerusalem. And of course, whenever they returned with joy. There was a joy, there was an excitement that they were going back to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel and under the leadership of Joshua. And they were going back as described by Ezra the scribe, that they came first with an excitement and enthusiasm for the work. But sad to say, that enthusiasm didn't stay. They went back indeed with the task to build again the temple. But there were those who met them, and those that worked against them, and the Samaritans, they planned against them and sought to stop the work of God. And it is true that the devil will always seek to stop and to hinder the work of God. And when God's people come with excitement to do a work from God, how that the old devil will try to put the excitement away, and to, if there's fire in their souls and zeal in their hearts, how the old devil will try to put the fire out. And the sad reality was this, that after a period of time, whilst they laid the foundations, because of discouragement, the work of God stopped and the temple was no longer being built. And so we saw an apathy that had crept in among the people of God that had returned with the task and with the purpose of doing a great work for God. And as we looked at that last Lord's Day, and we were noticing and identifying some of the signs of the spiritual apathy that abounded, we noticed first of all that the work of God was neglected. And sad to say that God had a great work for them to do, but because of discouragement, the work of God was neglected. And friend, there's nothing new under the sun. The old devil will try to stop the work of God amongst the people of God upon this hill. And sad to say that for some, they have sought to neglect the work that God had called them to as we separated unto the Lord. Then we noticed the second sign was that God's people were content. And there was a contentment among the people of God. And you say, as we looked last Lord's Day, but sure, that's good. Ought not God's people to be content? But my friend, it was what they were content with as that showed a tragedy, showed an apathy, showed a great dearth amongst the people. The house of God was neglected. The work of God was neglected. The temple of God was lying in ruins. Around them there was an awful, dilapidated surroundings of ruins of the temple. And you know, when God's people saw it first of all, and as they were getting rid of the rubbish and building again the foundations of the temple, my, there was a zeal to do that. And they were brokenhearted at the beginning what they saw when they returned to Jerusalem. But friend, then they lost the courage. They lost the fervor. They lost the excitement. They lost the vision. Sad to say, instead of being brokenhearted over the ruins of the temple, they were looking at it and they were indifferent now. They could look upon it and they were content. They weren't troubled enough to do something about it anymore, but because of the discouragement of the enemy round about them, they were just happy. They were happy to continue just as it was. And time passed and years passed. And sad to say, they didn't bother anymore. It didn't bother them anymore either, because even of the situation. And friend, you know, the devil's so crafty. It is so easy to drift into a situation in our lives like that. It is so easy to drift and to look around us. You know, whenever we look on the fields and we see that they're white and ready to harvest, and God says, you know, say not that there's yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He says, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields. They're white and ready to harvest. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. In other words, God says, have a burden. Have a burden for the need when you look in the harvest fields. They're white and they're ready to harvest. And he said this, but the laborers are few. You know, friend, it is so easy For God's children, yes, one time you looked on the ungodly, and you looked at the lost, and you saw those that were dying in sin, and you realized they were on the verge of hell, and you wanted to reach them for Christ. You had a great vision for the lost and a burden for souls. And then perhaps discouragement or other things crept in. You've lost the vision. You've lost the zeal. You've lost the fervor. And you can walk past the ungodly, but it doesn't trouble you anymore. You can even look and sit amongst your loved ones and you can talk about anything, but the last thing that bothers you is that they have a lost soul. That if they were to die and close their eyes in death and step out into God's eternity, they would be in hell for all eternity, in the place where the Word of God says the fire is not quenched. Friend, let me tell you, that's an awful thing for a man or woman to close her eyes and go out into a Christless eternity. I can remember, as a young lad, the last words of an uncle that he spoke before he died was these: "Oh, hell, hell, hell." And he went out into God's eternity. And friend, I remember as a young lad, I remember as I thought about those words of someone I loved, and that was his last cry before he stepped into God's eternity. I remember crying myself to sleep. Crying myself to sleep. Because to realize that somebody that I loved had gone out to hell for all eternity. Before God, let me ask you this. Let me ask my own heart. When was the last time that we cried over a lost soul? When was the last time that we were so burdened for a lost soul, to run after them, to seek to win them for Jesus Christ? You see, it's so easy to drift into a life of apathy that really we don't care anymore. Yes, the temple was not built, but they were content. The work of God was stopped, but they were content. And there are many of God's people, friend. I would suggest the vast number of God's people. And the world's going to hell. But they're just content. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy, friend. And if that's what's in your heart today, I'll tell you this, you are a living tragedy. If that's what's in my heart, we've lost the vision, we've lost the zeal for soul, we've lost the fervor for the things of God and love for men and women to seek to win them for Jesus Christ. We know we cannot save them, but Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's not your business to save them. It is your business to go. It is your business to preach. It is your business to tell them. It is your business to gossip the gospel instead of gossip. Yes, that's our business and mine. And one day we stand before God and give an account of our stewardship to Him. There was a contentment. And then if you look in verse number 2, it says this: "This people saith, the time has not come." You see, God knew exactly what they were saying. And God knows your life and mine. God knows exactly, just exactly where we are. God knows exactly where you are with Him today. God knows exactly whether the reality is that your life is cold and careless, and yet you profess the name of His Son. And God heard what they said, and God says this: "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say." God heard them. And God hears, my friend, not only the words you say, but God sees the actions of your life and mine and says, "The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And that was the third sign that we finished with last Lord's Day. God's people made excuses. They said, "You know, it's not the right time to build the house." And as I said last Lord's Day as we closed, there's no urgency anymore. The urgency of the hour. Oh yes, we excuse ourselves and we say, you know, the last days are days of apostasy.
And that's true.
The last days are days of falling away. The last days are days of declension. And therefore men and women stand back and they said, but sir, what can we do? It is not time. God says, lift up your eyes and look in the fields. He says, they're white already to harvest. In other words, it is time. It is time. And then we excuse ourselves. We try to give all these excuses for our complacency, for our demotivation. We're not motivated. There's no zeal in our hearts for the work of God. Oh, there's going to be no revival, and so therefore we just sail along. It is not time. But notice what God did then. Look at verse number 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time? Is it time, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lie waste. You see, God not only heard what they said, God was looking. And God was searching just their hearts. And God asked them a question. And God says, is it time for you? Oh, you say it's not time for us to do something for God. But God says, isn't it strange? It seems to be time for yourselves. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses? And friend, isn't it funny or isn't it strange? We always have reasons why we can't serve God. But we always have time to serve ourselves. Isn't it strange that we haven't time to give to God, or even we give our time or our money to serve the Lord, and yet we have time and money to serve ourselves? See, what God was saying is this. Listen, yours is not a reason. It's just an excuse. And God rebuked them. You see, they started out with a vision. They started out with zeal. But they got discouraged because the road was hard. There were enemies that were abounding in every hand. They forgot the reason that God had sent them back in the first place. They were sent back to build the temple. Have we forgotten why God called us out of apostasy? Have we forgotten the reason why God separated us as a people unto himself outside the camp for the glory and the honor of his name, to preach the gospel, to stand for the things of God? You know, God's challenged them. God challenges them. He says, yes, it's time for you to build your sealed houses. Oh, yes, you've got your wooden panel houses, but he says, my house is lying waste. And friend, on this day and generation in which we live, we get caught up with ourselves. And we have plenty of time, says God, to work on your own houses and your lovely wooden panels. But there's little or nothing for God. He says, my house, this house, lie waste. And the honest reality is this, that many of God's people are in a comfort zone today. Don't stir me, preacher, just let me sleep on. As long as I have a good roof over my house, as long as I'm all right, as long as I'm serving myself, me first, Lord. Suffer me first. That's what the man said to Jesus, suffer me first. And yet the word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My friend, God knew that they needed houses, but friend, God's house was lying waste. God was not saying they didn't need house. But God was saying that they were sent back to build his house. I thank God that God has promised. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And God will prevail, friend. God's work will prevail and God will build his church. But the sad reality is this. There are many that God has called into the battlefield to serve him, and God has called to witness for him, and yet they have left the battle. They've laid down the trowel, and they're no longer working. Leave it to somebody else. And you are serving. Oh, yes, you are. But friend, you're serving yourself. Serving yourself. And God knows exactly what you're doing, because he said, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your houses, and this house I waste?" Now, in the light of that, because friend, that's simply the introduction to the reality of the situation. Let us look here at the priority. Look at verse number 5. It says this. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. God says, listen, I have a word for you. There's something that I want to say in what I have seen and what I have heard you saying and what I've seen you doing. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open. And God both sees and God both hears him. And it says this, now therefore. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts. Consider your way. Consider your ways. And friend, I believe that that's a heart cry from heaven today. I believe that God is crying from heaven to you and to me. And God is saying to us, look in verse number 7 as well. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, I want you to forget about who's sitting beside you this morning. I want to forget about who's sitting below you. Downstairs, those that are sitting up in the gallery. I want you to forget about those who are up in the gallery. Listen, listen to the word of God, friend. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. That's not the person beside you, that's you. And God is challenging us today, friend. And God is putting his finger upon your heart. And God is putting his finger upon my heart. And God is saying something personally to us today. And he says this, consider your ways. In other words, consider your way in relationship to the work of God. Mean business with God. God is saying, think carefully today. Think about your priority. That's what he's saying to us. Consider your ways. We ask ourselves, why is there no revival? Is God not able to send revival in any day and generation? Is God limited by his power? Why is there not the revival, the stirring of God in our land today? Why is it there's so much apathy? Why is it that there's so much deadness amongst the people of God? Why is it there's so much prayerlessness among the people of God? Why is it there's no urgency among the people of God? Friend, listen, not only among the people of God, look at my heart, look at your heart. Why is it with us? Consider your way, your way. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, dear Lord. Why is there tearless eyes when we think of the lost? Why are we not brokenhearted over the state of the Church of Jesus Christ today? As it lies defeated and discouraged and divided. And God says, consider your ways. Why is heaven shut up, friend? Notice what it says, verse number 6. Ye have sown much, but you bring in little. He says, you eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages, he earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. It just seems to disappear. Look at verse 9. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Have you ever asked that question, friend? Have you honestly asked that question? Why? After sowing? That we bring in so little? Why, after laboring and earning our wages, it just seems to be that it all disappears. It goes into, as it were, a bag with holes. You see, God challenged God's people here because they didn't ask themselves that question. They didn't stop to ask the question, friend, because they didn't really think they needed. There was so much deadness among them. There was so much discouragement among them. Didn't even stop to ask the question, why? After all the sowing, is a little reaping. And is it not true that many of God's people come and go from the house of God, friend, and their hearts are not stirred and their hearts are not broken, and there's no longer the tears in their eyes or a burden on their soul over the lost that are going to hell, and they never ask why? Why are we in such a situation? Why are we not moving forward, friend? Why are we not claiming ground? Is it not time for us to listen to the Spirit of God when God challenges and God says, consider your ways. There is something wrong. There's something wrong. And if there's something wrong, it has got to be put right. Something wrong among the people of God. Why is heaven closed? And why not the mighty answers to prayer that once you experienced in your life, friend? Is it because of those unscriptural motives that you have in your heart? You have asked, but you're asking amiss. You're asking so as to satisfy your own lusts or to have it for your own ways. Why is heaven shut up? Is it the unconfessed sin? For the word of God says, if I bear iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And is there sin in my heart and in my life, that unconfessed sin? Is there an inconsistency in my life that I speak the words of the child of God, but I live an inconsistent life before the world, and there is unconfessed and undealt with sin in my heart, and I bear iniquity in my heart that has not been put away? Is it the untoppled idols? Things that God has put his finger upon in my life, but I will not let go because I love them too much. And God tells us in his word, go through, the hymn writer says, go through with God thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay, and the Holy Ghost will do the rest, and he'll bring to thee God's very best. But before God, friend, there's an untoppled idol in your heart and mine. And God can't bless us until that untoppled idol is toppled and we allow God to have His way in our lives. Oh, it's easy to say, let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There's no joy, there's no peace until God has His way. But friend, let me tell you, we can sing the words, but I ask you this honest question before God. Is God having His way in every aspect? Or is there a place in your heart where you say, God, you can have every place but this one? Is it a non-sympathetic attitude? Have you got a hard heart today? Have you a heart of love for the people of God, friend? I'll tell you this, if God's people had a heart of love for the people of God, they wouldn't be gospeling about them. If they had a heart for the people of God, friend, they wouldn't be delighting when somebody falls by the way. They'd be an endeavor with that sympathetic attitude to lift them up and to bear them up before God. The book of Proverbs in the chapter 21, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13 says this. It says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And sad to say, many of God's children today, they haven't a sympathetic attitude. They don't care what they say about the child of God or another child of God, friend. They'll cut them to bits. And then they say, I believe God answers prayer. I want to tell you this. God will not hear. He might as well not pray. Because God has shut His ear to you. Or is it that unhappy relationship, friend? Is that what's happening? You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking, friend, be honest. It goes right into our homes. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to this. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. This is dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And sad reality in many homes, and even in Christian homes, husband and wives, they just grunt at each other. And there's an unhappy relationship. I want to tell you, until that's dealt with, friend, God says your prayer will be hindered. Your prayer will be hindered. Or is it that unbelieving heart? You won't trust God for everything, friend. You think that somehow that you must be in the center of it all. God says, trust me. Fear not, only believe. And that unbelieving heart, ye have not because ye ask not. Unbelieving hearts, what's the use? Your God will not answer. Or is it that unconcerned believer? You know, the Bible tells us that if we sow in tears, we'll reap in joy. But when was the last time we sowed in tears? We've lost the concern. Is it those on bended knees where God's people no longer fall on their knees before God and depends upon Him? Listen to these words, friend. Consider your ways. Are they wise? Are they profitable? Will they end well? You know, and I was thinking about this message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, and honestly, I believe before God, friend, what we need amongst God's people, we need honesty. A good dose of honesty. God's people, let me tell you, are holding spite, but they're not willing to face up to it. They're holding bitterness, and it'll destroy them, but they're not willing to face up to it. They have unconcern about the lost, but they're not willing to face up to it. They've got an unhappy relationship in their home, but they're not willing to face up to it. They've got untoppled idols in their lives, but they're not willing to face up to it. They have unscriptural motives for what they're doing, but they're not willing to face up to it. They've got unsympathetic attitudes and unconfessed sin, but they're not willing to face up to it. Listen to the Holy Ghost today. Consider your ways. If you really want business with God, friend, if you mean business with God, then before God, there's something you've got to do about it. And God says, listen, do you not see there's something wrong? Ye have sown plenty, and you bring in little. You clothe you, and yet you're not warm. You eat, yet you haven't enough. And you've earned your wages, but it's just like putting it into a bag with holes. And I was thinking of what God said about the king. God says, I have weighed you in the balance. And he says, you're found wanting. Listen. Remember, God says, listen, I heard what you said. Ye say, it's not time. It's not time to build a house. God says, I see what you're doing. Oh, you're living in your seat houses. I remember when we were putting up the house of God, friend. And some people said, you know, whenever we put some of the things in God's house, oh, that's too good. What are you spending that money for? Let me tell you this, friend. There's people, and they'll put the best in their own houses, but anything will do for God. You know what that does? There's the attitude problem. You look at the building of the temple, friend. God was given the best, because we owe everything to him. Don't you skimp God, friend. Actually, I was just reading a little thing the other day, and it says this. Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange how that a £20 note seems little or like so much a large amount when you donate it to God, but it's such a small amount when you go shopping? Isn't it strange how 2 hours seem so long when you go to church, and yet how short they seem when you're watching a good movie? Isn't it strange that you can't find a word to say when you're praying, and yet you have no trouble thinking about what to talk about with a friend? Isn't it strange how difficult and boring it is to read one chapter of the Bible, but how easy it is to read 1,000 or 100 pages of a popular novel? Isn't it strange how we get to know about a church event 3 weeks in advance so we can include it in our agenda, but we can adjust it for other events at the last minute? Isn't it strange how difficult it is to learn and share a truth about God with others, but how easy it is to learn, understand, and extend and repeat gossip? Isn't it strange how we believe everything that the magazines and the newspapers say, but we question the words in the Bible? Isn't it strange, friend? Or is it? Is it? You see, God says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I say in God's name, please, I'm saying to my own heart, let the Lord have his way. Consider your ways. He re-emphasizes, consider your ways. Because he knew there was a plight here. There was a fruitlessness of their labor. There was plenty of activity, but little fruit. There wasn't progress. They sowed, but they brought little home. Are you satisfied with that? Are you satisfied with all the labor, even the work of God, friend? A little movement in reality in the district? If you are, then I say to you, my brother, my sister in Christ, you need to fall on your knees before God, for God's saying this today. Consider your ways. Oh, God, burden us again. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise or fears give sway. And even as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. God, take me higher. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, write thy word upon all of our hearts today. And Lord, I pray that you'll deal with the apathy and indifference of our hearts and fill us, O God, with zeal and fire again. Take away the tearless eyes and give us tears. Take away the hard heart and give us a broken heart. For thou hast said, a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. O God, revive us again. In Jesus' precious name. And for his glory. Amen.